Thea, welcome to the radio show where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I am a dental hygienist and I can't seem to get out of that routine of looking at everything from the perspective of an oral health care provider. And that's what this webinar, this podcast is all about. And I hope that you find the information that I've been providing useful enough to share. We are approaching our 500 episode mark. It goes pretty fast when you do three shows in a week, and sometimes it's one, but I try to get at least three going every week, and I hope that I can continue to do this. And one of the things that is a little bit helpful is if you could subscribe to the website, and every now and then I'll send you a little note that says, don't forget to come and listen, and so-and-so was on. It's not automated. It's something that I have to do myself, so you certainly won't be getting an email every single time I post another episode of Crosslink Radio. And today we have with us once again Dr. Vanderlinden, and if you remember a few weeks ago, he was here talking about something called IP6 on the Sugar Show and talked about how this particular sugar was important in the release of insulin from the pancreas and how the Western diet has kind of been screwing around with our ability to make this particular kind of sugar and how to kind of get around it. And thankfully, we do have a supplement that we can use to help us accommodate that. Dr. Vanderlinden has degrees in naturopathic medicine and Chinese medicine, and he's practiced for almost two decades. Dr. Vanderlinden wrote the book, Too Good to Be True, that highlights the multiple health benefits of a molecule called IP6 for immune support, bone density, and blood sugar, to name a few. Today, he is the president of Hope Science International, and they supply EFAC, and also the president of Periodine LLC, the supplier to dental offices of a remarkable new product for gum health. Always focused on science, Dr. Vanderlinden has played a key role in several clinical research projects using natural products, and I'm going to now welcome Dr. Vanderlinden to Crosslink Radio. How's it going?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Awesome. So we talked about this IP6 a few weeks ago, and we were talking mainly about how it's a feature of diabetes and just health in general, this inositol, and we also talked about how to get this base sugar called inositol into an IP6 kind of a configuration. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about how important it is to the function and metabolism of the human form.
Yeah, well, there's so much to this, you know, vitamin-like molecule, different areas. Mm-hmm. One area is immune system, and I think that should be a whole different talk. But today, if we just, I'd like to talk in how it affects sort of calcium metabolism. And so, with the calcium metabolism, it's going to affect, you know, the bone density, actually also the heart disease, you know, the calcification of the arteries, and kidney stones. So those kind of three areas are all related. You know, the heart disease, kidney stones, and bone density are all related to calcium metabolism, and that calcium metabolism is very related to IP6.
Well, that's going to be pretty awesome. My father went for 20 years having one major kidney stone at least every year, and he had one stone that was the size of his kidney that they had to do surgery on. I can't even fathom how that could happen in as many times as he was in to have kidney stones taken care of, that it would get so massive in such a short amount of time. And his cardiovascular health is pretty good. So could it be that one of these things is going to be showing up compared to the others?
Well, obviously, because there's all those things are multifactorial. Mm-hmm. In terms of the kidney stone for your dad, at Harvard, I think it started the year I was born in 1958. They did the research, and they found that the IP6 reduced the amount of calcium in the urine, and it prevented the stones. So, I mean, that was 57 years ago.
Wow.
More recently, they had, I think, 2004, it's called the Nurses' Health Study. And the Nurses' Health Study, they've been following in the Northeast these women for decades and decades. And they know everything about them. You know, they continually interview them and look at their diseases,
right,
and et cetera. And so they study, you know, heart disease and the cancer and all kinds of things. But when they looked at the kidney stones, they were thinking about, you know, the calcium consumption and that type of thing. But what they found was the main predictor of kidney stones was IP6 content in the food. So the more IP6, the less kidney stones. And so if you had, you know, very little IP6 in your diet, your kidney stone incidence was really high. So this has gone in, you know, really good research levels. And so I'll talk, you know, when we get into the talk, I'll talk a little bit about the science of it and things. But
It's all yours.
All right. So IP6, is it a vitamin? Well, the I in IP6 is inositol, and that is a vitamin, and it's necessary for health. In fact, it's by law required in baby formulas. So inositol is a vitamin. Is IP6 a vitamin? Maybe, maybe not. But according to the classical definition, no. But vitamin D, you can read this later. Vitamin D is really not a classical vitamin either, because our body produces a little bit of it.
Mm.
So. The history of IP6, in your last show we talked a little bit about it, but basically they discovered from South Africa and later on the next decade in Finland and Denmark that IP6 really was the main factor for preventing colon cancer. The professor who initiated this is quite famous. He actually invented the test for colon cancer. And he tested the IP6 and he found out there was fewer tumors and animals live longer, etc. But the fact he invented this test is, again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but to me this is the biggest tragedy in medicine, that we have a test that finds cancer. Lung, colon, breast, those are our three big killers.
Mm-hmm.
Finds them early and we don't use this test. And the test literally costs nothing. It costs like a nickel, right?
Or a quarter. Well, there's your answer right there, Dr. van der Linden.
Oh, anyway.
There's no money in it, so why do it?
Well, they can still charge for it. It doesn't cost
bad.
Anything.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. So, it's a crazy system.
So, as I mentioned, inositol is the mother of IP6. And by that, I mean that inositol is a six-ring... comes from glucose, actually. It's just a sugar from glucose. And then it's they add the phosphate groups around it. So IP6, the inositol is the I, and then it's phosphorylated. There's some resources we're happy to share with you. I wrote a book on it, as you mentioned. I'm happy to send copies for free just by, you know, as a PDF. Just email me at... drkimv at hopescience.com. Again, Dr. Kim V at hopescience.com. I'll send you a PDF of the book. And we have a lot of other resources, various research papers and things that, again, we'll happy to share with you.
It seems like there could be more, though. It seems like something that's this basic should have more people investigating it and how to use it and how to exploit it better.
That's a really good question. And in fact, inositol has over 20. When I wrote the book in 2004, at that point there was over 20,000 scientific papers on inositol. IP6 had over 2,000 papers. So there is. It's not for lack of mm-hmm. science original papers. There's a lot of science, but maybe because it's natural, people don't pay attention to it. But clinically, I can tell you that I've seen some really profound things. And I'll share a couple cases with you in a few minutes. There's 20,000 papers is a lot of researchers' time, right? It's a very potent antioxidant. It has 12 electrons. When they compare it, for instance, to green tea, like, for instance, they did studies with green tea and colon cancer. Green tea will prevent colon cancer, but IP6 is just much stronger. So everyone knows about green tea as a great antioxidant, but actually this is much stronger. This the metabolism of IP6 really is important. So IP6 is what they call an intracellular messenger. So if you think of, you know, our body, we have a lung, kidney, heart, etc. In the cell, they also have these very small organelles, and the connection and the transportation and communication between them is a lot to do with these, with IP6. So they call it an intracellular messenger. But in terms of metabolism, when it's outside the cell and in the blood vessels, etc., what happens is when we consume IP6 in our diets, it's going to come in and it's bound to minerals, calcium and magnesium naturally. And magnesium, there's two main mineral deficiencies in America are magnesium and zinc. So it's really, there's lots of calcium around, but magnesium is a main deficiency. So it does provide some magnesium. But what happens is when we consume it, the phosphate groups are dropped off it, are cleaved off it, and we absorb it as phytic acid. So it's with the IP6 without the phosphate groups. Without the minerals, pardon me. Mm. And then it goes into the bloodstream, and because now it's dropped off the minerals, calcium, magnesium, it'll go through the bloodstream and pick up and drop off minerals. Then most of it is used in the cell, but the little bit, maybe, let's say 1 to 3%, let's say average 2%, goes out the kidneys, and it goes out without the calcium attached or magnesium attached. And if you have a kidney stone like your dad did, basically what it does is it takes atom by atom of calcium and you just pee it out. So it just goes out in the urine. So basically it very slowly dissolves the kidney stones. So that's why it has the effect. So it's very interesting. On one hand, you'll see a little bit, it builds strong bones, but it keeps the arteries clear and kidney stones down. So.
Well, it just goes to the idea that the human body is always striving for homeostasis, right? And this idea of angiogenesis going haywire, and that's how you get a tumor. And foods that stop angiogenesis, which is the creation of blood vessels, and why, if you're not having a tumor, it's good to have all of those chemicals in your body as well. And it's all a big spherical balancing act.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and just, you know, when we do another talk on the immune system, this has I've got some pictures that are stunning showing the before and after when you add IP6 mm-hmm. to tumors, the blood vessel growth is dramatically reduced. So this actually, it's funny you bring that up, but this actually has effect on angiogenesis as well.
Oh, it just keeps getting better and better.
So, heart disease. There's something called reperfusion injury, and this was counterintuitive to me. Often in a heart attack, the damage is done not when the blood is stopped, but when the blood goes back in. Because by not being oxygenated, it becomes a very strong oxidant. Oh. And so actually, when the blood goes back in, it actually damages the tissue. So it oxidizes the tissue and breaks down the tissue, the heart muscle. So they call that reperfusion injury. And they've done studies, and what they do is they take animals, and if they put IP6 in their food, in the water, when they induce a heart attack, there's often very, very little damage. Whereas if they don't have the IP6 in the drinking water, then there's tremendous damage to the heart muscle. And this was a big, I've spoken with some cardiologists, probably 10, 15 years ago, this was a big topic, and all of a sudden it's gone away.
Mm.
So one of the ways of limiting the damage from a heart attack is to have enough oxidants and antioxidants, and IP6 is just probably, I'm going to say, one of the granddaddies of them. It's
wow.
probably one that's important. So it limits reperfusion injury. It helps prevent calcification because, as I said, it goes through. The word chelation comes from crab, chelate, and it means to bind.
Mm-hmm.
And so IP6, when it's going through the blood vessels, is picking up and dropping off minerals. In a moment, I'll share the story with my dad. Well, I've mentioned it's already an antioxidant. And the person who co-wrote the book with me, she did a couple chapters. She was the director of the American Institute for Cancer Research, but she's a hematologist by training. It doesn't take blood and just thin it out for the sake of thinning it out, but it normalizes the thickness. So that's an important one of the things is, you don't want your blood too thin because people
right.
get bleeding and bruising, but you don't want it too thick either because then it's easier to clot. So it normalizes the platelet aggregation. So my dad's story, we're Dutch, and they say for the Dutch, wooden head, wooden shoes, wouldn't listen. So he's stubborn. And so, I was with him, and he went blind in one eye.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Dad, you're having a stroke. And no, he's a stubborn Dutchman. He wouldn't.
Wow.
It took me a long time to get him to convince him to go to the hospital. So finally we get to the hospital, and they stabilize him. Fortunately, his vision came back, so there was no permanent damage from the stroke. So he had a stroke in one of the blood vessels leading to the eye. But when they went to evaluate him a little bit later, it was a really brilliant neurologist, and they wanted to see about the risk of having his carotid arteries cleaned out. And his carotid arteries were, I think, 94% and 90% blocked, one on the left, one on the right.
Wow.
So the neurologist went through all the tests, and he got all the tests done independently, and then he spent 2 hours examining my dad. It was a long time. He did a great job. So anyways, my dad went and had the surgery. The problem with the surgery is when he cleaned out, they can only do one at a time, of course, because
right.
you got to get applied to your brain. So there's a 6% chance of stroke from the surgery because, you're disrupting the tissue, right?
Yeah.
And so the blood supply is being disrupted. Anyway, he didn't have a stroke from the surgery. He was fine. But he always remembered that, 6% chance of a stroke or 1 in 16 chance of a stroke. So he was supposed to get the other one done in 3 to 6 months, and I couldn't get him to go back. Again, he's stubborn, right? So finally, 3.5 years later, we convinced him to go back. So we just, fortunately, we got the same neurologist. And again, he spent a long time with my dad. So he went through the whole thing, had all the tests done independently, and then did his own physical exam, etc. He said, I've never seen this before. But the one we did 3.5 years ago, normally they'd recalcify because we disrupt the tissue. He says, it's like we just did the operation yesterday. He says, it's perfect.
Wow.
He said, and the other one hasn't changed. So he said, actually, I'm going to call off the surgery because there's more risk from the surgery than what's happened. And so, the other one didn't change. It didn't go down because there's a layer of tissue called the endothelium that covers the calcium. So it's not actually exposed. But the calcium in the new one, the one that was done, would have been raw calcium. So in my dad's case, the neurologist said, whatever Kim's given you, that IP6 stuff, you just keep taking it, and you don't need a surgery. So, now my dad's, this was probably 15 years ago or something.
Wow.
Now my dad's 80, and he's a going concern. He walks 4 or 5 miles a day.
Crazy.
So, and he's healthy. So he's on zero meds. There's very few. Very few seniors that are 80 years old on zero meds.
Very few.
Yeah.
Speaking of my dad, too, he's got a little shoebox full of medicine that he has to take every day for this and for that. He's got a pretty high pain because of his back things, and I don't know. He's just on a lot of pills that keep him upright, but his quality of life is not very good.
Right. So that's one of the issues with the seniors, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so for my dad, I don't want to say it's a miracle, but really really made it so that he doesn't have to be on more medicines. Right? And he doesn't have to get the surgery.
Right.
And he has had no cardiovascular issues since then. His regular doctors are kind of floored. But they don't get it. But
yeah, they don't take it to the next step and say, let's put all of our patients on it, or let's try these other two people or anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, his cardiologist said you're not taking, even though the GP say you should take some medicine, the cardiologist says there's nothing wrong. What are you going to take, you know, blood pressure medicine for or whatever? So he says, so he's on no medicines, but I think it's the neurologist who said he'd never seen it before. He was floored how the tissue, the one they did, stayed perfectly clean. So that's the chelating effect of the IP6.
Awesome. Well, we're getting short on time here, so let's go move on to the next topic.
Okay, so kidney stones, I already told you, basically when IP6 goes out the kidneys, about 2% of it, if there's a stone there, it binds, and you basically urinate your stone. So you can read the slide afterwards, but basically for kidney stones, it's important. Bone density is very important. That's one of the biggest concerns of ladies I see.
Yeah.
And so IP6 consumption, basically, there's a professor named Dr. Grassis, and he's a metabolism expert on IP6 and kidney stones, but he measured the amount of urinary IP6, so there's, you know, a little bit goes over your kidneys at 2%, and he correlated with bone density, measured bone density. He found that the more IP6 in your urine, essentially the more IP6 you eat, the stronger your bones. So, and then there's a whole bunch of series of studies they've done where you couldn't even induce osteoporosis. And so, when they, you know, with the animals.
Oh, man.
I got to tell you about my sister's stories.
Okay.
My sister had an abnormal pap, and she took IP6, and it came back to normal. At the time, she had a low bone density, and osteopenia is called. So that was about 10, 12 years ago. I got her to keep taking the IP6, and I think about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, she was measured, and she has the bones of a 20-year-old. Clinically, you never see that. You don't go from low bone density to high bone density. Typical management of
not in one lifetime, right?
So they just try to prevent it from getting worse. They don't think of it actually reverting to healthy. So again, that's an aha moment, right? My dad had heart disease, but my sister, her bone density, the fact that it
improved,
was low and now it's high, it's stunning. So, you know, I take IP6. I take it personally because in my family there's a lot of cancer, and so I try to help prevent cancer. But and I've been taking it for 17 years. But actually, there's all these other benefits of it, and I think the bone density is really an important one because so many women worry about that.
Well, and they are given also bad information, not thinking of homeostasis. They're going right from, there's calcium missing from your bones, you should be taking more calcium, which is almost the opposite of what should be happening, because the body is opposite.
Well, see, that's what people don't understand. Osteoporosis is not a calcium deficiency. Rickets in the old days, that's
right?
A calcium deficiency. So osteoporosis is the whole protein matrix as well as minerals that are missing in your bone.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just calcium, but it's the protein matrix. So rickets is calcium deficiency, not osteoporosis, but everyone just assumes it's calcium. But
yeah,
actually, that technically is wrong.
It's not how it works, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's really fascinating, and it's too bad that it could be a simple answer to a multiple complex problems, to include a sugar, a specific special kind of sugar, into the body. So glucose doesn't just go to the brain and feed the brain, it also converts into inositol and IP6. That Did I hear that right? Did I say it right?
Perfect. So basically, glucose converts essentially to IP6, and it has all these other benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of great reasons to be using this. I think for to get educated, people wanted us to email me at hopescience.com. I'd be happy to send my book and any research papers. Like I said, there's just tons and tons of research. It's not like just one or two studies here and there. That's why I've been taking it for 17 years.
Well, it sounds like it's an awesome awesome piece of equipment to include as part of your routine during the day. I think most people are taking at least one supplement. And sometimes it's just a multivitamin, but adding something in like this that has the origins covered, you know, that's the basic thing here.
Different than a multivitamin's hard to show any benefit, right?
Right, exactly.
But this is, you know, because it's a single molecule, a scientist can research it. It's harder to research a plant because there's 1,000 molecules in there. But this is a single molecule from a plant that they can see it makes it for researchers a little bit easier, and they know the metabolism, the mechanism, and all that stuff. But clinically, you can see it, you know, in those kidney stone studies or, you know, the cancer studies, etc. You can see it in the populations. So they know that it's for real. So this is kind of different than a multivitamin that might be good for you and has a bunch of little things in there, but not enough for actual health. Whereas this really is much, much better documented.
So what are some dietary sources? We talked a little bit about corn, like actual corn on the cob corn, and oatmeal, oats, I guess, not oatmeal, but oats, right?
Yeah, well, oatmeal is made from oats. Brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
So brown rice, but mostly grains and legumes. So, you know, beans and et cetera will have a lot of it. So IP6 is everywhere. It's in dirt. It's in meat. I mean, organ meats.
Mm-hmm.
The highest source is basically grains and legumes, which, of course, we get less and less of as the diet becomes more and more westernized. When you have, you know, white bread versus grain bread, a brown bread, a whole grain bread, you're going to get less IP6. So essentially, the more primitive your diet, the more IP6 you're getting.
You know, it makes me think of a funny story. We were poor when my husband and I were married, and then we had 5 kids, which of course is just, you know, a plethora of fun suddenly appear, haha. And my goal was to get brown bread and get bread with grain in it that you could see. And I was commenting about that to my dad, and he goes, and he started to laugh too. He goes, "All I ever wanted was white bread." That was a goal for him when he was, you know, living on the farm in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. And here we go, right?
I can tell you a short little story that kind of, when I wrote the book, there was a sociology professor who's also from Bangladesh, where Dr. Professor Shamsuddin's from. He called me and said, "I want to tell you my story." In Bangladesh, the more affluent people get white rice, and the poor people eat brown rice.
Yes.
It's known for centuries that the poor people live longer and healthier than the affluent people. He said, however, the wealthy people can afford to give the rice polishings, in other words, the bran, to their cows. So the cows of the affluent do much, much better. They produce more milk, they live longer, etc. Whereas the cows of the poor people, they don't get the rice polishings and they don't live as long or as healthy. So the poor people do better, but not their cows. And it's the opposite with the affluent. So they've known about rice polishings, and they didn't realize it was IP6 at the time, but it's going on for centuries they've known this.
Yeah, it's a crazy system that we've developed. So I'm interested to hear our next little episode. And I hope to have you come back in a couple of weeks again to talk about the next level on the Sugar Show on CrossLink Radio.
Well, I'd love to. I'd love to share about IP6 information because, you know, I'm pretty passionate about it, and I've been taking it for 17 years, but I just love the science and the implications for our health.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Dr. Vanderlinden.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And that was Dr. Kim Vanderlinden of Hope Science, and you can email him for a free copy of your book, of his book, your free copy of his book, Dr. Kim V at HopeScience.com. This is Shirley Gutkowski at CrossLink Radio signing off. Have a great rest of the day. Thanks.